You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by another musician, not only a singer, but also a songwriter, and someone I've worked with in the past, and I'm so privileged to have come to our Songtime conference in September to lead us and direct our hearts in worship. We're joined by Krista Wells. Krista, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me.
What I've always appreciated about your songs and the ones that you've performed, as well as the ones you've written for others, is that you've got a very distinct style in how you write and communicate in a very empathetic way that I can really connect with your songs. How is it that that has developed in you over the years, is to be able to communicate really with your heart on your sleeve as you write?
I think a lot of the way we approach writing has to do with just our natural personality and spiritual gifting, and I'm definitely an encourager, mercy giver personality, and a peacemaker as well. These are things that are natural to me as a human, and so I think that naturally is conveyed through my writing. But I think the types of music that I've always listened to, beginning in my early years with Amy Grant and, you know, that whole scene of early Christian music, it was very conversational, very relational in nature, and it connected with me. I was a kid who had a wonderful family, but a lot of recurring loss through relocation. And so for whatever reason, that kind of music that carried the truth and the beauty of the gospel and the compassionate nature of God always was what resonated with me. And so when I started making my own music, that's what's come out, you know. And I'm not a theologian or a pastor, but I have spent my entire life being taught from the Word of God, spending my time in it. So I am terrible at being able to just recite scripture, honestly, pulling out, you know, where did I find that? But I find over and over again that I write songs and I'll play it for someone and they'll say, oh, did you get that from this passage? And I'll not know that I did until I look back and I go, oh, yeah, I'm very well acquainted with that passage and that must be where it is. It's just such a part of the backdrop of my mind, you know, that the truth of Scripture comes into play in my writing, even unintentionally, you know.
It said that A.W. Tozer was that way, that he could just read through a book of the Bible and then go and write a book and not have any references because he didn't know where it was referenced from. He was just a consumer, and it just became a part of who he was.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Psalms have played a huge part in that process of your writing as well. How was that? I mean, as an artist who connects to poetry and writes poetry for music, how have the Psalms really impacted you in your own relationship to your career of writing music?
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that the Psalms have done for me is give me permission to write as honestly as I want to write. As I'm able to write, more honestly, I would say, than a lot of what is pushed in the Christian market, honestly, is. I think it gives me not only permission, but a model for how to articulate the deepest experiences of the human life, ranging from celebration and persevering faith, all the way down to despair, moments of despair and loss and fear. And I think the songs that I've written that have connected the most deeply with people, I'll try to write all kinds of music. I doubt, you know, I'm trying to push myself to write different things, but time and again, the songs that I get the most feedback on are the ones where I've kind of laid it out there the way the Psalms do. This is honestly what I'm feeling in this moment. This is what I'm experiencing. I can't see you right now, God, you know, but yet, you know, you are, this is who you are. You are the one who took me from my mother's womb, and you are the one I have been taught to trust since birth. You are the one who showed up. So it's both. You're free to write both, and because of fear, may be called to write those. And I think people believe the hope after they find you credible, after they see their own real loss or the darker side reflected in your writing. Then they can accept that you know where they've been, and they can accept the hope and the truth that you're offering. At least that's what I see when I come to the Psalms. I find it incredibly believable and real and not contrived one bit, because he puts it all out there honestly before the Lord, and he's not afraid to have these difficult conversations with God.
Now, I know we've talked personally, I think it was 3 years ago, about your kind of getting back into writing, getting into performing yourself, and that little bit of intimidation that you had, or that that fear that you had in getting out there and performing your own songs. And mm-hmm. and yet, I think that has driven you in a unique way to connect with artists. You give a lot of your time and energy to helping young artists write music as well. What mm-hmm. is that mentorship like, to be able to raise up in the next generation people that are guided by biblical principles in their writing?
Yes, I just really came into it organically. I never set out. I guess when I was a kid, I thought maybe I'll be a teacher. So there is something in me that really loves passing on, you know, to other people. But I get really excited working with young people through Masterpiece Ministries, for one thing. In the summer, it's a summer arts camp. And I think that helps ignite the flame for me, just because I'm working with these kids who don't yet, they're not in the industry yet. There's not any cynicism or constraints, really. They're not thinking about what's going to market well, they're just writing from a pure place and a real desire to speak truth in a way that connects with their people and their peers. And I see a lot in the musical landscape of our culture, there are some gaps, you know. And there's a gap where you have great sound with no truth. It's just empty. And then you have some truth speaking that doesn't resonate because it's not there sonically, you know, and we're not feeling relevant to our culture and a lot to our young people primarily, who are always hungering for the next new sound. So there are artists out there who are filling this gap. There are fantastic believing artists who are making music. They're not tending to be supported by labels, and so they're harder to find. You have to go digging. So anything I can do to help this next generation come up and stand in that gap and bring truth of the highest musical quality to our culture, I think that's world-changing, because you're hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't love music in one way or another. I know a couple people who don't listen to music that much, but most of us are deeply impacted by the music, and maybe particularly by the music we hear in our younger years that kind of stays with us. So I love working with these young people while they're still kind of in that pure place, and I want to help keep them there. I want them to be able to be successful, you know, provide for their families, but not make compromises that are regrettable. So
I can connect, you know, there's youth today. I mean, I think of every generation, especially young people, are so connected to music, and yet it's the music that can have that ability to get past emotional barriers and yeah. communicate that truth. And that's something that's rich in the Psalms as well. And yet there's so much to that art aspect that is able to communicate in those times yeah. of need. I found your songs, the one in particular, Don't Call It Love, such a very impactful song to me at a moment when I needed to be both convicted and challenged in how I've experienced love, but also how I've been able to show love. So I think that ability to be able to bring people to a place of aha, you know, a little bit of enlightenment, yes. that can be a little more impactful than a parent trying to teach a lesson, or a school teacher trying to communicate a truth. music as that barrier to get past all of those, that ability to get past all of those barriers.
I agree. And I think the power and beauty and also the danger of music is that it is, it has a way of subverting our conscious thought. So we're taking it in all the time. And, you know, if my child listens to a song that carries falsehood and idolatry, whatever, they're not consciously going, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, they're not going to, in that moment, make a switch necessarily. But over time, we are marinating in the sounds and the language we're hearing, and it really does shape us. Just like, I guess it's just what we were talking about with the Psalms or the entire Bible, that I may not pick up one certain thing and say, this is where I found it, and that, and I started believing this truth at that moment. But over a lifetime of soaking in it, it's become part of my DNA. And I think music does that, you know, for better or worse. So it's a great responsibility to carry, you know.
It certainly is. We've been talking with Krista Wells. She is a writer, an artist, a performer, an amazing musician, but also somebody who has a heart that has been marinating, I guess you could say, in the Psalms, in Scripture, as she has a beautiful way of composing her heart and Scripture into her lyrics, into her music. She will also be our guest at this year's Songtime Conference here on Cape Cod. You can find out more information about her, her music, and how you can attend our conference for free when you give our office a call. It's 508-362-7070. Krista, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Thank you, Adam.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.